Mary Morgan Smith is one of the founders of the Three River Story Telling Festival, Storytellers Festival, which takes place August 8th and 9th. Sandra is the other.
Sandra Collins.
Sandra Collins.
Mm-hmm. Who is now director at the Newcastle Public Library.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing the festival has become in its time. And it moved to a new location last year and is growing bigger and bigger. And it's right around the corner. And for the past few weeks, we've been having a featured storyteller. And Mary is kind of a two-for-one because she could tell us about the history and production of the festival, but is also a great storyteller in her own right. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
And tell us a little bit about some special things. And before you do, we want to acknowledge the Grable Foundation for its support of the festival and its support of the Saturday Light Brigade. The Grable Foundation really gets it when it comes to kids and adults and connecting them. And they're helping to make the Storytelling Festival a reality once again.
Yeah, without the Grable Foundation, we would not be around at all. And they have been wonderful. Their focus is on children, and we do a lot of programming for children. We have a special youth concert. We've been working with some younger tellers to learn to tell stories and present them. And they will be on stage, on the main stage, on Saturday, 4 or 5 o'clock. We also go out to daycares before the festival to tell stories there. And on Friday of the festival, we have people come in, daycares, summer camps, people wandering by, whoever would like to, and we've got storytelling for them too.
That's a terrific thing. And if you've been with us at this hour over the past few weeks, you've heard this story before, but the fact of the matter is I think we're all engaged by great stories. I know when I want to lose myself or just take a moment and sort of just enjoy extreme pleasure, it's when a human voice tells me another story. And while I like to read a lot and use my own inner voice of reading, it's also very powerful to have a human being standing up or sitting and looking you right in the eye and telling you a story. And that's what this is all about. A storytelling festival is not about sharing stories you've likely heard before. It is about maybe sometimes there are some traditional stories, but for the most part, you are going to hear things that you've never heard before or mm-hmm. have had any idea. Who are some of the tellers this year?
Well, our featured tellers are Andy Offutt Irwin, Charlotte Blake Alston, and Megan Hicks. I am sorry to say that Gregory Gibson Kenny from Pittsburgh was one of our featured tellers, and he is fabulous. A lot of people in the Pittsburgh area do know him. But unfortunately, Greg is ill, so we are now trying to figure out how to deal with that. We may end up using local performers to do it, or if we're lucky enough to find a featured performer who's available on very short notice, we may be able to have somebody step in.
Greg's a great storyteller. And
he's one of my favorites.
Our best wishes to him for a speedy recovery, because he's just phenomenal. If you don't know about Greg, a lot of his stories are biographical sketches of great African-American men and other people of color and acting in character. Greg's a trained actor. He travels all over the country, and we're lucky enough to have him here in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
It's August 8th and 9th, and if you go to 3 RSTF for Rivers Storytelling Festival.org, you can get all the information you need, the numeral 3,
yes.
RSTF.org. And Mary brought some stories, too.
Of course.
So what do you have?
Okay, well, let's see.
This is where I get to put up my feet and just listen. I like it when this happens.
Well, this is where I go, okay, now what did I plan on telling? I was thinking about something else here with the festival.
I don't want to get you off your game here.
Oh, two things I did want to bring up.
Please.
I forgot. The workshops that we have. while we talked about the focus on children, and that's very important, a lot of people tend to think of storytelling as being only for children. And as you know, it's not. This is a family-friendly festival, but adults, I can pretty much guarantee, will find lots of stuff that they will like. We've got two stages going all day on Saturday. So if you don't like somebody on one stage, go to the other one.
And also, some of the stories on the adult stage might be a little scary for children. You know, you'll want to use your best judgment when it comes to those things.
Yeah, particularly for the ghost stories. We've got so much going on, I can almost not keep it all in mind. The ghost stories are on Saturday night. They end up the festival pretty much. Those are not for little children. The way I like to put it is, if you bring your child to these ghost stories, you are the one who's going to have to be there at night when they wake up. We won't have to deal with that. So if you've got a, you know, a six-year-old who absolutely is fearless, good luck. But I'll be telling it the ghost stories, too. So that's going
to
be fun.
And also remember, as you send your children to workshops, or if you're young and you go to these workshops, we are not responsible for the imaginative excuses they may develop for either not doing what they've been asked to do or whatever the case may be, because they'll learn a lot.
Many storytellers, including me, got our start by making excuses about not having the homework done. Which was really difficult for me in third grade. If I didn't do my homework, I went to school and I had to try to explain to the teacher why I didn't do my homework. There was only one problem. The teacher was my mother.
Ah, that's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, it was. So I got pretty good at doing my homework. And I have, when you're a storyteller, you also have to do homework, because people tend to think that, oh, you only take 45 minutes and that's everything you're doing. But in order to be able to tell a story, you may spend hours looking for a story to tell. A lot of storytellers now, and many of the ones you'll see at the festival, tell personal stories. They write them themselves. They don't have to worry about copyright. And Andy Offit Irwin is absolutely one of the best of this. I think he's going to be here by phone on the 9th.
Yes.
And his Aunt Marguerite is a true character. But I like to tell folk tales. And for folk tales, I like them from all over the world. And this one, I just learned recently. So you're my experimental group here. And it's a story about an emperor who was a very good emperor. And he was getting on in years. But he had no children. So he had to determine why he would, or how he would decide on somebody to succeed him. And after a bit of thinking, he was a really good gardener and he loved his gardens. He decided that he had an idea. And he called all the young men of the kingdom to come to the palace. And he said to them, anyone who is interested, I will give you one seed. Take it with you, plant it, nurture it, and bring it back here in 6 months. The one whose plant is the most interesting to me, he shall be my successor. And there was a boy in the group. And of course, all the boys thought, okay, it's going to be me, it's going to be me. Oh boy, oh boy. But there was one boy who was known throughout the area for being a really good gardener. And he was thinking, I got an inside track here. I know how to take care of plants. This is going to be good. And he took his seed, and he took it home very carefully, and he planted it in a little pot with lots of soft soil, and everything was perfect. And he watered it, but not too much, and he made sure it had enough sun, but not too much, and nothing happened. Nothing. And he thought, well, I must be doing something wrong. So he tried putting it into a different pot with slightly different soil, maybe adding a little bit of plant food. Nothing happened. And all the other boys who had been there were bragging about their beautiful, beautiful flowers, you know, gladiolas and azaleas. And, you know, how do you grow an azalea from one seed? Amazing. But he was the only one that didn't have anything happen. And the day came when they were supposed to go back to the palace and show the emperor just what they had done. And when he did that, he thought about not going at all. But his parents reminded him it was his duty to go back. He had to be honest about it. He had to let the emperor know that he'd done his best. You can only do what you can do, is what they said to him. You did your very best. That's all anybody can ask. And so he went with the others. But he made sure that he was at the back of the line. And so all the other boys were going up there, and they were showing the emperor their fabulous plants and their beautiful plants and their sweet-smelling plants. I think somebody even had a cucumber, which was a little different. But at the end of the line, when the boy got up to the emperor looked at his pot, and he said, "What's that?" The boy said, "I took the seed, and I planted it, and I took really good care of it. I did my absolute best, but nothing happened." And then the emperor smiled, and the emperor looked at him and said, "You will be the next emperor. You were the only one who was honest about it." All of the other boys wanted it so badly that when their seeds didn't sprout, they got other seeds and planted all kinds of interesting things. But the emperor said to them, "You know, a seed that's already been cooked won't bloom. And all of the seeds that I gave out were cooked. This is the only honest child. He will be the emperor."
What a great story. Let me fix this microphone a little bit for you. We have a little droopy. The microphone's had a long week. Where did you find that story?
That story actually is usually cited as a Chinese folktale, and I found it in a bunch of different places. Because I tell folktales, I have to be very careful that I don't steal somebody else's version of the folktale, because that is wrong.
Yeah, you want to be original. Yeah. And and that's one of the amazing things when you go to a festival like this. If you like, frankly, original, authentic, non-repetitive things, including the fact that every time a storyteller tells a story, it's going to be a little different because he or she is not reading, and he or she's going to be impacted by the audience too, or by the by the listeners. It's such a great thing.
And occasionally there'll be a traditional story, and you hear one version of it, and you love it so much. That happened for me when I heard Lynn Ford, great storyteller, tell a story called The One-Eyed Ghost. The Ghost with One Black Eye is what the full real title. And I loved the way she did it so much that I asked her permission to use her version of it, and she gave it to me. However, should I become rich and famous by using that story, I have to share with her. She told me that too.
That's reasonable.
But I have another story for you.
Please.
It's another story that is supposed to be from China, and I found it in several different sources. And it's about a young monk. And he was studying late into the night. He was all by himself. And he was working on his calligraphy. He had his little inkstone and his brushes and his paper, and he was practicing it. And it was warm, and he was tired, and he fell asleep. And while he was asleep, he had a dream. The dream was that there was a young woman in a green dress, and she was calling, help me, please help me. And it seemed so real that he woke up with a start. And when he did, he looked around, and he was alone. And then he heard a noise behind him. And when he turned around, he saw the window open. And in the window, there was a big spider web. And there was a big spider working its way across the web towards a little green bee that was in the center of the web. The young monk got up, wished the spider away, and very carefully picked up that little green bee and got him out of the spider web. He took the bee back to his table, and he just put it down on its inkstone so it could get better. When he did that, the bee started to come back to life and started to move around a little bit. And then it got up, and it walked over to the ink, and it walked in the ink. And then it hopped onto the paper, and it did a little dance on the paper. And then it flew out the window. And when the young monk looked down at the paper, the bee had made the character for thank you.
That's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. That what a great story. If you're just joining us, Mary Morgan Smith is the voice that you just heard. And Mary is one of the producers, one of the founders of the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. And we've been talking about the festival for the last few weeks here because so many good things are going to be happening. It's August 8th and 9th. Mm-hmm. And you can either stay or enjoy it for all 2 days of it, or you can just pop in for an evening concert or for a workshop. You would want to make a reservation, I think, if you're going to a workshop, or at least plan it accordingly. Those have a fee, but the shows are free, I believe,
yes,
right?
Yes, all of the shows are free. The workshop, there is a small fee, I think $35. And it's a limited size. So it's good if you can make an advance reservation, but if you can't, if you stop by on Friday, you can see what room may still be available. There's four terrific workshops. I think Mike Perry was on last week, and he mentioned Storytelling 102, which he and Stash are going to be giving. But we also have, Megan Hicks is going to do a workshop called Folding Under Pressure with the Origami Swami.
I thought you were going to say folding underwear.
She could probably do that too. And Where Have All the Folk Tales Gone by Charlotte Blake Alston. She tells folk tales as I do.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And Building Stories by Andy Offit Irwin. If you've got an idea for something funny that happened in your family, Andy can help teach you how to tell it.
Oh, what a neat idea. That's all next week, or not next week, in 2 weeks, August 8th and 9th. So there's still time to get more information, and the best way to do it is at the numeral 3, rstf.org. Mary Morgan Smith, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always fun to be here.
Take care.